Hello there, ladies and gentlemen, photographers and forest dwellers. My name is Jared, and with me is my photogenic friend, Ian.
That is me.
We will be your hosts for the episode. We are honored and grateful that you have joined us at our table. Here at the Game Table Podcast, we take a look at various board, card, and other tabletop games. We give an overview, provide a little insight on how to play, and share some of our thoughts, all in an attempt to give you an idea of how well it would fit for you and your table. Today, we will be looking at Redwood, designed by Christoph Reimbolt, artwork created by Edu Valls, and published by Sit Down Games.
And then we have some, like, very calming music.
Yeah.
I can't do... I wrote this not in that way. I can't... How do I intro that?
It's fine. I'm going to keep in what you said about... I can't do it.
Like, I can't do it. That's not how I wrote this.
That's how I'm going to transition, and then you're just going to do your thing.
All right, good. Well, Redwood is a 1-4 player exploration game where players are photographers exploring the great outdoors in an attempt to create the most beautiful panoramic photograph ever taken in all of history. You will travel around this beautiful landscape in search of the best angle for your shot, but make sure you select the perfect lens for your photo. As a famous person once said, photography has no rules. It is not a sport. It is the result which counts, no matter how it is achieved. So let's get out there and review Redwood.
Wonderful.
Well, hello there, Ian.
Oh, God.
Sorry, I just came out of my zen place.
Wow, that was wild.
Wild? I thought it was very zen myself.
Yeah, it was. But then it wasn't, so.
Have you ever been to a spot? It could be anything. I don't care.
Okay.
That you just felt like this needs to become a picture. I need to take a picture of this.
Yeah.
Because of how glorious this moment is.
Yes, and I have taken a picture of it.
Tell me about it.
Back in high school, I was on a missions trip in Arizona in the high desert. In that area, there is a lot of plateaus, but you have to obviously climb up to them.
Yeah.
You get up there, it's high up. But when you're on top of that, obviously it's plateau, so it's flat up there, and you look over this cliff, but then literally, I think it was, I forget how many miles it was. It was, 30 something miles or somewhere around there that you could see. And you could see this other, there's no towns out there. It's out in the Navajo reservation. So
yeah.
there's not many towns, but you could see the town that was way out there, but it was just pure desert. And this is high desert, so there's a lot of green, but it just, you could see forever, like literally forever. I could see it was fantastic. I still have the image in my mind. I can still see it right now. But on top of this plateau that we found, there was a cross that I don't know how they did it, but they brought these big planks of wood and made a cross. And I guess on this specific area, some like missionaries or somebody would come like every year and keep the cross up to keep or whatever, and they put some like flowers on it. They must have recently been there because there was like a wreath on it.
Sure.
And all this stuff. And it was just sitting there like at this point where the like almost the cliff is. And then behind it is just endless view. Like there's just unobscured view. And it was so pretty and it was cool. And I did take a picture of it. I have this, I actually got it printed on a canvas as well. Is one of my favorite pictures I've ever taken. Is that this cross is sitting there and it's just endless, beautiful nature. And so that was one of my favorite things from that trip specifically. But I still, I love that picture so much. It's fantastic. It's just so peaceful.
Mm.
And out there, there's no cars.
Sure. It's quiet.
It's quiet. You can hear the wind and the birds and everything else. And then this cross and then open desert.
Yeah. No, I think that's really cool. Yeah. I know that I could probably rattle off half a dozen moments in nature.
Totally.
That would be, that'd be good answers.
Yeah.
I want to go a different direction though.
All right.
It does steer away from the theming of nature in this game.
It's a sporting event.
It is a sporting event. So when I was growing up when I was in high school, I loved watching the Colorado Avalanche play in the NHL. They were fantastic. Peter Forsberg was one of my favorite players of all time.
He was good.
I remember getting to go to a game back when you could go to a Preds game and sit downstairs and not take out a second mortgage.
For like $12.
And not sacrifice your firstborn child and give away one of your lungs to be able to sit downstairs.
Yep.
And I remember, I will never forget this play. This play is so ingrained in my brain that I will never forget it.
All right.
He brings the puck into the zone. He's looking for a pass. Nobody's open. So he ends up going around behind the net, comes back out the other side.
Okay.
One of the Predators players shoves him off the puck, or tries to.
Okay.
He goes down on his knees.
Oh.
Still controls the puck.
Oh, no.
Dribbles it twice and then throws it into the net.
Oh, no.
No problem.
Oh, my gosh.
I have never seen in person a thing of beauty.
That's pretty great.
It was sick. And yeah. I already have like this great appreciation for sports photographers anyways, because not only do you have to know the right spot to be at, you have to time everything
perfectly.
And so, I mean, the talent is, it's incredible, but I'll never forget it. Like I said, it's etched in my brain, but wish I could have taken a picture of it.
Yeah. It's really cool. Like, the sports guys that take those photos, really think about like the NFL one specifically, They sit on these end zones all game. And I guess they do move from end zone to end zone, but like, especially for like the Super Bowl and stuff like that, I don't know if they'd be allowed to just roam wherever they want, because there's probably tons of photographers on the field. Yeah. So anyway, I don't know how they just somehow get the perfect shot. And it's like, oh.
All while potentially being trampled by trucks that are running around.
Yeah, exactly. So,
well, let's talk about Redwood.
Yeah. Which is about nature and photography.
Yep. It is. It is about both of those things.
It's about both.
Primarily photography.
And hiking, slightly.
Kind of.
You're moving around.
You are moving around. I don't think you can move around in hiking the way that you can move around in this game, but
no.
That's okay.
No. Definitely not. Yeah, no.
All right, well, let's talk about how to play. I'm going to give you a brief overview, and then we'll jump back into the discussion. So Redwood is played over 5 rounds, whether you're playing at 1, 2, 3, or 4. The goal of the game is to have the most points. The way that works is there is a central board that all players will play on. This board has flowers, various backdrops that are broken up into 5 different sections. And then there are these various spots on the board for you to inset animals that will be roaming around the board in the various biomes. The 5 different sections are your biomes.
Mm-hmm.
You will also be on the board with a little photographer miniature. On your turn, the way that this works is you will choose a movement template. You will also choose a camera shot template. You have to choose both of them before you do anything.
You can't do anything before
you
select.
No measuring, no picking it up and playing around with it. Once you touched it, that's the one you're taking.
Yeah, technically, the rules specify touching.
That's it.
But you do pick the movement first, technically.
You do. Movement and then camera shot.
Yeah. But you don't do anything with it. You grab it, you put it in front of you, then grab the camera.
That's right. So once you have your plan of action for the round, you then attach the template to your photographer miniature. You can kind of swing it around, trying to find where you want to put your person on the board.
Mm-hmm.
The entirety of the template cannot go through an animal or another photographer. We're not out here to disturb nature, and we're not out here to disturb other photographers.
You can't walk through a bear. This is the hiking part.
I guess.
You are hiking to the optimal photo spot.
Multiple biomes.
Yeah. It's the movement template, so you're walking. So you can't walk through a bear.
That's right.
You can't walk through the bear.
So once you've decided on your spot, you take a second miniature of the same structure. You'll put on the other end of the template, and then you remove the first one.
Mm-hmm.
Then you attach your photo shot to the second miniature and decide where you want to take your picture. Now, there are a few things to keep in mind here. The only things that are going to count are either flowers or animals that have been completely covered by your camera shot template.
Has to be all within the image.
So if you chose long and skinny for your shot and you can't fit that big old fox into your long and skinny.
The fox.
I'm not bitter.
Yeah, no.
Then you don't get credit for that fox photo. Additionally, each lens shot has little holes in it.
Mm.
If you get a flower or an animal that you can see through the little hole, then you have made a perfect shot, which gets you additional points.
Yep.
In addition to that, once you've taken your shot, the direction that you're pointing will determine the background of your shot. And that is where the various biomes are coming into play. So you'll take a card from that biome, put it in front of you. You'll add tokens representing the pieces that you did capture correctly. And then that'll be basically your turn. You'll collect points for any bonuses that you've achieved during that shot.
Mm-hmm.
Then play transfers to the next player. They have a choice. They can either take templates from the ones that have not been used, or they can take yours. If they take yours, you get a point for each thing that they take. On your next turn, you cannot take anything that's still in front of you. Play goes around and around through five rounds, so you'll end up with five shots at the end of the game. There's a variety of different ways to score points at the end of the game, creating a strong flowing panorama that connects correctly of your five different shots, having unique animals in your collection of shots, having flowers in your shots, and points collected throughout the game all come together to create a final score. Whoever has the most points wins and is declared the greatest photographer at the table for that time.
For that day.
Maybe, unless you play again.
Yeah.
Let's head back to the table and discuss.
I want to talk about the designer real quick.
Talk about the designer.
Is it Christopher?
No, there's no R.
There's
it's
no
Christoph. R. Christoph.
Chris. Oh, it's Christoph Reinbolt?
Reinbolt.
Sorry. Well, he has designed a couple other games that are not as well known, but Cult Express was his other main game.
Hey, you know about that.
And I love Cult Express. I think he likes, and I was reading a little bit, especially in this game, he wanted it to be, and Cult Express is the same thing. It's about the experience of the game more than like the technical functionality of rules. And I can see that. In both games, especially in this, there can be some fiddliness with anything that you're using maneuver templates. It's about the experience of this game. There are a couple things that are kind of weird and can come across. Same thing in a game like Cult Express. And the game's very free flow, kind of just winging it type of deal. So experience over many other things. And I think that's really cool. I think it's a nice balance. I think it adds a lot to a game like this. So there's that. Did you have anything to say about him?
No, I was going to talk about the artist.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, yes. The art. Yes. Let's do that.
Because I think the art's great.
I adore this art.
If the art wasn't great, it would really detract from this game.
It definitely would. It definitely would. Is there anything else that he does?
Yes. He's actually been in the board gaming game industry for artwork for a little bit now.
Okay.
Three Ring Circus.
Mm-hmm.
Bitoku.
Okay.
I feel like I should know this one. Trolls and Princesses.
Mm-hmm. Heard of it.
But there's like a whole list here of stuff that he's done.
Mm-hmm.
And also looking on his Instagram and his art station, his artwork's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, this looks fantastic.
I'm a fan.
Yeah.
It's interesting, right? And we talk about art a lot because we get into a lot of games that the art's really important. The art had to be good because it's a game involving photography.
Mm-hmm.
But it also doesn't get in the way of the game, which I think is really hard to master, where it everything that you're doing, everything that you're playing, you're like, oh man, this art, like you said, you adore this art. And I think that's really cool. But it's really hard to do that without the art overtaking the game. And I think the balance in this is well done.
Mm-hmm. The front of the box, I'm assuming he did that. I love that piece. I think that is...
Can you describe it for us?
It's pure brilliance here. To have the camera lens at the bottom of the box aiming up towards the sky, and then this absolutely just gorgeous image of a forest with the animals in the game all just kind of sprouting out from the lens and coming out. It starts at a very narrow part of the lens and then shoots up and spreads out towards the top of the box. That illustration is amazing. I love that. I want that printed. It is just such a cool representation of how taking a photograph works and
how it brings everything to life.
And so you have this like elk on the front of the near the lens, which is the biggest animal. And then you obviously have the trees and stuff behind it, but it's really cool where you have this centerpiece of the animal right next to the lens. And then the forest behind it with a lot of like little creatures and stuff behind. It's brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant. I love it. As somebody who has taken a lot of pictures in my life and I love photography, is representational of taking a photograph. I think it's awesome. And so, yeah, I love this box. This is a box that I want to stand up and be on top of the shelf or face up. Like, I want it to stand out on a shelf. I think it's that good of art.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
Really like it.
I love it.
Well, what do you like about this game, Jared?
I think that this game is the closest I've ever come to just fully being like, guys, this is so zen.
Yeah.
I don't care. I'm out here taking some pictures.
Just taking pictures.
But it's not in a like, it's interesting because it's not in a, I don't care.
Uh-huh.
It's in a, man, I want to do well, but I'm out here with you trying to get you to do well too. And we're competing. And I don't do that a lot. But like, you had one shot tonight where we played before we recorded. And I'm like, yeah, you could do this or you could do that. I would never do that other games. I'm like, I'm just going to sit back and let you figure it out. But like, we were talking through all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
And
we did that a couple times.
I don't know. Like, it just feels like this, we're out here together doing our own thing, but we're also competing.
Yeah.
And I think that's a me thing because I know that not everybody... just from what I've seen online, not everybody loves this game, and that's fine. I don't care. For me, it brings out that Zen nature and lets me just enjoy my time.
Yeah.
And I really like that about this game.
I know it has that feel to it.
Yeah.
Even the art, let alone on the box front, but everything else, very just Zen. Yeah. Even the components, the board,
yeah,
is just really nice, and the different biomes are really cool as well. You know, you've got these different areas, but they're all unique in their art style.
Sure.
A little bit in each thing. Like, one's a lot of bright colors, where the rock area is like, it's kind of darker, it just not as many bright colors. It just has like rocks.
But it lets the flowers and the animals that move in there really pop.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, it's this very well-designed art. It's just really well-designed art that was put onto the board and used effectively. So
I think something else that I really like, we obviously used templates a lot when we played X-Wing.
Yes.
And learning to master those templates is one of my favorite parts of X-Wing.
Yeah.
I was never that good at it, but still just the idea of learning how to do that.
I like templates. I do.
It's really enjoyable. And
it can be, it could be finicky, but
100%,
but it's still fun.
I still think it's super fun.
Yeah.
Well, if you're really, really good at X-Wing, you can be really creative and pull off some gnarly stunts with it.
Yes.
But in this game, you can just kind of dance around the board.
Yeah.
And once you open up your mind to the different ways that you can get the different angles,
yeah,
the creativity of how you play is so cool to me.
Yeah, I definitely got better as the game went on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I mean, there was points where I started thinking, I was like, why am I going for this?
Right.
I could do this instead, and it looks so much cooler.
Yeah.
And you just got to be okay not getting dialed in to this one way of doing it.
Right.
So I loved the creativity in the way that the board allows you to move around.
Yeah.
And the templates.
It's got like this dexterity part of it. So you have these templates, and there's seven of each.
In the base game, that's right.
So seven movement, seven camera lenses. And there is one, the first one's like literally like you move like 2 inches straight in line.
Super important sometimes.
Yeah, that's nice. The other one, the second one is like, it's almost like this like L. It's a rounded L, but it's like a little L shape.
Like a U? Is that the letter you're looking for?
Well, no, a U would go all the way.
Well, yes. It's a, if like an L and a U had a baby.
Yeah, sure. I don't know what shape that. Anyway, so it's like a little rounded turn, basically. And then the rest of them are like kind of just like banked long turns.
They're all different levels of banks.
Yeah. Where the two is the only one that's like an odd shape. Like the rest of them are pretty, at 3 through 7 are all like, it's just a bank, a little slight angle, but they just get longer.
But it changes a lot.
Does. So what's really cool though, and the trick in this game is you're like, you're on one side of the board, but you're like, man, I need to get over there and take a picture of the bear inside the forest. And so you have to put this template, but you have to obviously pick which one you want before you do it. And you're like, I don't know how far I want to go. And it's really hard to tell. Like, I guess if you play this game a lot more, you could figure it out. But like still between 7 and 6, there's a little bit, but that little bit can make a difference on what the angle of your shot. And then you have to pick the camera lens before you even move. So then you don't even know if I picked a wide enough lens, how far do I need to go? So there's a lot of like little decisions you're making every turn. I felt like I'd be like, oh, I'm just going to pick. I'm not going to worry about it. But then I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, I'm like, guys, I can't make the wrong miss. I can't make the wrong pick. I have to do the right one. So there's a lot of thinking here. I like that. I enjoy that about templates, and especially when you have to kind of decide before you move. There is this kind of stress there, which I think I like. I think it's a good stress. I think it's fun. So
yeah, it's like a tension, but it's not what you're really playing yourself in that situation where you're trying to eyeball correctly what you're trying to create.
Exactly. And then when you pull it off, it feels so satisfying. When you like in the game we just recently played, I slipped in between like two animals and you, and then took a shot coming back the other way. And I got everything
in it.
Cool. Yeah, it was a nice move. I was proud of myself for that one. So that's a really cool thing. And you're kind of like picking through these templates as well. And there's this dexterity part, like just observing the board, deciding, you know, kind of where I want to go physically. On top of that, it's a physical game. Obviously, you're using like these real, I don't even know how to describe. They're not firm templates. They're pretty like flimsy. I don't know what to even compare it to.
Yeah, they're like
this like clear kind of ish plastic.
It is a plastic.
And then the camera lens is kind of cool though, because it's a cone of some kind or shape, but it's mostly cones. And some of them are like really long, so you could take this picture from like across the board, but again, it's super narrow. And so, that messed you up good on that. That was it, the fox.
Dude, I was so mad at that, and it was weird because like you're in this zen place, and you're like, I've done it, I've created the thing that I want.
Yeah,
and then just the slightest amount is outside the lens, and you just have this die inside moment.
Yeah. You're just like, I just missed.
Yep. But the cool thing about that moment is I was like, okay, that didn't work. So do I settle here? But then I started pivoting around with the lens, and I found something that did work.
Yeah.
So
you can spin, when you move, you don't, obviously you select your movement location, then you put on the lens. So you can't move anymore.
But you have a 360 arc as long as you're not getting another character's miniature in the shot.
Yeah, so you can move your cone, spin around taking the picture. So that does help a little bit if you make a mistake. And that happened to both of us. Like, we put the guy down, and you're like, well, I can't get what I want now. So then you move, you're spinning that cone around, finding a good spot to, like, take a picture of something else. And sometimes you can adjust it like, okay, I want to get the water background with this animal. Well, that animal's not going to fit. So let me move to another area of this water biome and take a picture of that instead. And you still get a lot in there. So there's ways to maneuver it. So you're not always locked in, which is nice. It can be unforgiving in that regard of like the movement, but there's a little bit of forgiveness in the cone because you can adjust it and move it. So,
and I think too, like once you're towards the end of game one, definitely by game two, you have a much better feel of the different cones.
The first game's always rough.
Because the first game, you're just like, there's no way. There's no way this is going to work.
I don't know.
And then you're like, oh, it's worked just fine.
It worked. Or you just totally, you're like, oh, I got it. And then you're nowhere close.
That's right.
Came up way short.
It happens.
Yep.
What's something you like about this game?
Yeah. So the biomes, you got the different ones. And so if you were to take, you don't have to, but if you take a picture of all of them, you get some bonus points.
That's where the panorama comes in. But you have to do it the right way.
You do have to do it in order. Well, so basically when you take a picture of one biome, it has two sides to it. On the board, it correlates with those sides. So like when I take a picture of the red one, the forest, there's going to be some water area next to it. And then like the green kind of like open forest next to it. So I have to, if I want to do it correctly, I have to take a picture of one of those two next to put it next to adjacent to that first picture that I took. So then when you take a picture of a different area, it has two different sides as well. So once you connect all the sides, it's one big circle, which is how the board is oriented as well. So what I love, though, is when you do it correctly, all the little pictures line up, the art lines up.
Sure.
It looks like a panoramic photo, which is really cool, especially when you have all like, and then you put the little tokens, the little animals on each individual picture. So then at the end of the game, you have this just beautiful panoramic photo of different animals and flowers or trees or whatever you took. And so I think that's such a cool, neat little aspect of that is like when you get the perfect panoramic, it all connects and the art blends together. I think that's cool. Where if you don't, if you take pictures of the same thing over and over again, it doesn't necessarily fit a panoramic photo.
No, but the interesting part is while you might be tempted to make the perfect panorama and get a few extra points, there might be more points in not necessarily doing that.
Yeah, there was a point in one of the games where I think I would have scored a couple more points if I aimed away from that specific location. I ended up doing it anyway, but there was a point where I was going to score like 15 off one because it had like multiple animals going the wrong direction. The sun. What I think this is a nice little addition is that if you take a picture of the sun one time,
a background that has the sun.
A background that has the
don't
sun.
Don't take a picture of the sun. Yeah, that's really bad.
Yeah, don't do that.
Don't do that.
If you take a picture with the sun in the background, if you do one of them, you're good.
You're golden.
Yeah, perfect amount of exposure. But if you do it more than once, you like ruin your camera.
Yep.
And so therefore,
and your eyes.
And your eyes. And so therefore you take negative, 4 points or something?
Two points.
Well,
it's technically a 6-point swing because you had four.
Yeah.
With the one shot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Eesh. So I think that is really cool. I think that's something to like always be thinking about. I was like, okay, I want to get a shot with a sun in it, you know, behind it.
Yeah.
And so I think that's really cool.
And it takes some real practice to be able to really execute all of the things that you could score on.
Yeah, there is. There's
you
a
know,
lot.
It's something to really, you have to plan it out, but you also kind of have to get a little bit lucky because your opponents could be affecting the board.
Yeah, the animals move around when you take a picture of it.
That's right.
So if I take a picture of the elk, it's going to move to a different biome on your turn.
And that might just completely ruin everything.
You're like, well, I just planned for that. There goes that idea.
Yep. So it's very interesting for sure. But anything else that you want to mention on the good stuff?
I like the, and I think you mentioned this before, the animals slot in to the board itself.
Yes, this is huge.
Yeah, so the board is obviously one big circle with the different locations, but the animals go to specific, they're like little hexagons that are cut out in the board, and the animals have little hexagon-like
notches
in them, and it goes into the actual board. And so you can't bump it or knock it.
Which is huge in a game where you're moving players on templates around the board.
Yes, I can be super clumsy with them. And if they didn't have this, I'd be knocking those things all over the place. They'd be all over the board. Absolutely, all over the board.
In that same vein, I think the double miniature idea is so good.
Yeah, it's good.
Because I remember with X-Wing, we would bump stuff all the time. Yeah. It's really hard to keep that template steady and move the miniature.
Mm-hmm.
But to be able to have that second one where you can go ahead and place it on the other end and then just slide everything out and then you can reset everything and it's all good,
yeah,
really helps with that clumsiness.
Yeah, because you're never like, nothing's ever moving because the template's locked into your guy. So that becomes like a placeholder.
Right.
And you place the new mini at the end of the template. It's got a little circle cut out where you put it. And then you just kind of like lightly lift up and then pull everything out and set your guy back down. It's almost flawless. It is flawless. I think it's perfect. It's a perfect system.
It's very close.
Yeah. There's not much I would change on it. It's so well done. Where other templates, yeah, you have to put the template down, move your guy from one end to the other.
Don't breathe.
Not breathe. Don't bump your hand. It doesn't lock in place. Like, there's all these like variables. It's simple. You just
click it
into your dude and then put the other guy on the other end and you're good. So everything locks onto the mini. It's got a little cutout at the bottom that you just literally, it snaps into, which is so cool.
Sure.
It's a great idea. So, yeah, no, that's a good point.
This is the last thing I'll say about the good part, and then we can move on. But it's very fascinating to me because the more I've thought about this game after we play it, it's so close to that activity
mm-hmm.
world instead of the game world.
Yeah.
Because of what you're doing. It's hard for me to like say lots of things that I like about it because it just, that's it. Just doing it.
Yeah.
Dancing around the board, taking pictures, trying to decide the right templates. That's the game. I'm not going to sit here and promise you that there's some super deep thing.
Yeah.
Like, that's just what it is. And you're either going to like that or you're not.
It's not super. Yeah. There's not a whole lot of like critical decisions.
I mean, you choose the game. You're choosing the templates and then you're doing it.
Yep.
And that's
boom. Five times.
Which is great.
You do it five times, five rounds.
So I'm not trying to critique that. I'm trying to paint the picture of like why this is just, we're talking about the art. We're talking about the mechanics of the structure of the templates and that sort of thing. That's why we're spending so much time on that. And it is really interesting because I normally would defer away from the more activity-based games. But for this one, it just really draws me in. And it's very interesting.
I think it's a very good balance where some activity games are just, it's the activity and that's it.
I think that's well said.
This is a good balance between the mechanics, the theme, and the doing of the game itself is all flows well. And there's decisions that to be made as far as strategic choices. I'm not going to say that there's not. There's strategic choices that you are making to get the best picture, which I think is really cool. That's a great little spin there. And it ties the theme and everything together as well. And it makes sense a lot of what the designer likes to design. I think it fits him mm-hmm. in particular and what he likes.
Yeah.
And it's a very well designed game for sure.
All right. Do you have things you don't like?
Not particularly. I mean, I think there's a little fiddliness, obviously, with these types of games, any type of things that you're manipulating actual pieces around as part of the main game mechanic, it can be fiddly. I think this mitigates it a lot with the templates of how they snap in and all that fun stuff, but there's still fiddliness. That's fine. I do think that there's a little, it's not very clear on some of the cards and objectives. There's a kind of some, I don't know, it's not very clear or made clear, made well known in the rule book of exactly if this very, like, I don't, it could be very technical on how this card works. Okay, it says that I need to be pointing in this direction. Well, what does that mean? Because there's a line, there's a center line on a lot of cards, on all the lenses. So what do you, like, that's probably just a Reddit question that could be answered. I'm sure there are. But there's a little bit of some discrepancies there, I think, that you find when you're looking at some of these cards. You're like, I don't think this game is meant to be that. I think this game's supposed to be like very zen. But as far as gaming stuff, you know, it happened in our game. So I'm sure this question gets asked. Right. Okay, what is this objective? What if it happens here? What if this happens? So.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with you. A lot of these Zen games, you just kind of shrug and the spirit of the
you
objective
have to make a
is...
rule up and you're moving on. So.
Yeah.
I think that does boil down to some of the fiddliness of a game, though, that it's very, there's a 3D part of it that you are manipulating. So there is going to be scenarios where they might have not seen, or it's going to be very, very, very rare that that happens all at once.
Sure. So a couple of things I'll nitpick at. Why is there not a player aid? I just don't understand.
I mean, what do you want on the player aid? You pick up a piece and you move.
I understand that, but I think being able to know the list of scoring options at the end of the game.
Yeah, that would be nice.
Because there was two or three things in the games that we've played where you're like, wait, what?
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, like we talked about that. Well, I've been doing a lot of stuff since then. And I'm like, I get it.
There's a lot of different scoring. You're scoring for the animals, scoring for the everything, scoring for this. You lose points on this, you know.
And I think the other side could have, make sure you're checking all of these things that you need to check each round that could score you points.
Right.
Make sure you're checking that everything's covered. Make sure you're checking that you're hitting the background right. Make sure you're checking your bonus options around the table that are flipping. Because by the end of the fifth round, you've got five different bonuses to keep up with. Is it into the sun? Is it this? Is it that? I don't know. I'm not a board game designer. It just kind of blew me away that there was no player aid.
A player aid would be nice.
Especially for the scoring.
The scoring would, yeah. To keep track of that constantly and not have something to look down at.
Yes.
Because I asked you like six times.
You did. That happens a lot.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah. I mean, if you knew the game, maybe. But
yeah,
I don't think I'll remember this. I mean, I'll be playing this game a good amount, but I don't think I'll remember like all of the numbers that there's a lot because it changes. It's not like 2 points per animal.
Yeah.
It ramps up. So like if you have all of them, it's 21. Mm-hmm. But if you have six, it's 20
and to be 15. Fair, it's on the score pad, which is really helpful.
Right.
But why isn't that score pad just a player aid? Because then every player could see it.
Yeah, that's true.
Especially in a Zen game. Like, if you're wanting to keep track of your points and I'm not, like, here you go. You got it.
You could do individual score pads instead.
Sure.
If you wanted to do that.
The other thing, I have a love-hate relationship with the rule book. I think the rule book does the right thing in walking you through all the different scenarios with the templates. You can do this with the template. You cannot do this with the template. What if the template goes off the board? Well, that's fine as long as X happens.
Yeah.
That's all covered, and that's great. Anything else, I kind of felt like I was flipping around trying to find the questions that we had in our first few games.
Yeah.
I don't know that I loved that, but again, that's like nitpicky. It's not a big deal. It covers the important part, which we were discussing a minute ago, which is the actual tangible part of the game needs to be clear, and the rulebook does that, which is good.
Yeah.
I don't know how I feel about first player not moving from player to player. I know that the designers have said...
I thought it was fine, but...
Yeah, because you were the first player. I don't know that in the games we played, I've been first player yet, and we played at multiple different player counts. I felt it more in a two-player game.
Yeah.
But I don't know, man. Like, I feel like it's a very different game for the person going last versus the person who's going first.
In a two-player, yes. I think it's
less so in a higher count, but in a two-player game, it felt rough at times because I was like, well, we both want this and he's going to get to it first and then the animal's going to move and then what do I do?
But what if, I hear you. I do think, what if the animal was not in the optimal position on my turn instead? So then on...
Yeah, maybe you're right.
I guess maybe it's situational.
It is situational. And again, it's fine because it's just
but
a Zen game.
But maybe one game where it happened like literally every round though. Where
it
I'm
really
like,
felt like you had the upper hand most of the game.
I would say you did start in the exact same location as me. So then your game... I don't know if I'd do that because... So what happened was you went to the rock. You took a picture of the rocks when I did.
Yeah.
So then now you have to follow... my path because you have to connect. You'll have one of two options
now. Okay, so it's interesting you bring that up though because And this kind of gets into the thing about the expert mode, where there's more requirements on the biome cards.
Yeah.
Interestingly enough, that's not my original, that was not my original plan.
Okay.
But where you moved
made
me feel like I had to do it a different way than I wanted to.
Okay.
So then I'm like, well, this has the requirements that it needs, whereas these don't.
Yeah.
So anyways, it's all situational.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just curious. I was saying a higher player count, it would be different, but...
Yeah, in the higher player count, you're dodging more people.
Mm-hmm.
But
everything's moving around a lot more.
Yeah, it's a lot more movement.
Yeah.
Anyways.
It's something to take note.
I don't want to be whatever. Those are just some things that I observed. And I know that a lot of it is just, this is that kind of game, and I need to be okay with it.
Again, that kind of comes down to the fiddliness.
Yeah.
I think it all stems from that.
I think you're right.
Because you're moving physical pieces like around the board, and that matters, like a specific location on the board matters. Like,
sure,
my physical piece being right here changes so much. If it's 3 inches to the right, it changes so much.
Yeah.
That's how a game like this can be, and I think it all stems around that. So
I think that's fair. All right, let's move on.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't want to be negative about this game.
Player interaction, we've talked about that.
Sure.
Especially you added a couple more players, you're kind of moving around those players a lot more, but the good thing is that the animals move a lot more, so you could potentially get you don't have to move them yourself from one to another, like somebody can move it for you.
Yep. No, I think the game is different at different player counts, but not in a bad way on any of them.
And the game's 1-4 player.
That's right.
There are 3 game modes.
Yeah.
Normal, expert.
No.
There's 4.
I mean, expert is kind of this different thing.
Sure.
You really have normal, everybody competing, team, and solo.
Right. And then you can add the expert cards to your normal game.
Yeah, which just adds more requirements and different ways of scoring.
It makes it a little harder to get specific things, but you get more points.
That's right.
Yep.
Okay.
And then there is an expansion.
We have not played it yet, so I can't really speak to it.
Don't own the expansion. But it adds some like player abilities and more animals, new board.
I'm excited to try it.
Yeah,
I want to get it.
I would try.
I'm excited to see what they've added.
Yeah, the player abilities are cool, and then a new board is also cool. It's got like, you can float on a canoe, and
it sounds so cool.
It's a cool little thing. So, well, there's all that.
All of that. So we move into grading and final thoughts.
Yeah.
This game thoroughly surprised me at Gen Con. We walked by it.
We didn't even talk that we played it at Gen Con. We didn't talk about that.
We didn't talk about it on the recap episode that we did, but we didn't talk about it tonight. I'll be honest, we were walking past it at Gen Con. I was thinking about something else entirely.
Yeah.
And the guy was like, do you guys want to sit down and play? And I think you and Anna both jumped on it, and I was just like, okay, another nature game. Sure, whatever.
I just love the art. I think this is what got me. The board looked beautiful.
It did
in the box art. I was like, okay, that looks fine.
All right, whatever, we'll play.
Yep.
And we sat down and he started describing it, and I was like, holy crap. So it definitely very much surprised me.
Yep.
I, after multiple plays, still very much enjoy it. I have the same feeling every time I bring it to the table of this is just such a fun expression of creativity. And I'm getting to play a game at the same time. So I really enjoy it. I'm going to give the way this game speaks to me. And I'm going to also give what I think the game itself is. Because I think that there's... Yeah. So I think as a game, I think it's a solid 7.5. I don't know that it's the by itself. I don't know. I think it's a 7.5 from a game perspective. For me personally, I'm giving it a 9.
Whew.
I really like it.
Yeah.
I will never say no if someone wants to bring this out.
That's a good score.
That's why I really don't think it's a 9 for everybody, though.
Yeah.
So I needed to split it, because I think as a game, it's in that 7 to 7.5 range. But for me, it's a 9.
I think it's not a heavy game, guys.
It's not
a heavy game. don't think that it is. This is a great family, like light just have some fun, move some pieces around, take pretty pictures like that.
I feel like you're underselling it a little bit because that's not how you treated the game when you were playing.
No, it's not. What I'm saying is that's what I'm trying to do is undersell it. As far as the base concept, like you're moving around taking pictures, but the way that you achieve that and the way that the game presents that for players is unique. I've never seen that before. I think the templates are unique. The pieces are unique. The different shapes and the techniques that you're using is very unique to this game. I think the way that it is presented as far as art and the way that obviously turns work, I think is fantastic. I think overall, like when the game is over, no matter if you win or lose, you feel like you achieved something, which I think is really cool. You took a really pretty picture and it's got a lot of, again, all the different animals and you like, again, whenever at the end of the game, you have the five different photos that you took, you can see all the different pictures and flowers and trees that you took. I think that's so cool. Like, I think it just feels like an achievement. I feel like I did something in this game. Like I did that. Like your board's different than mine. I think that's super cool. And so with the combination of all those things, I think it's obviously very light. One thing we didn't talk about is obviously the time. I think you could play this game in an hour and a half or less if everybody knew what they were doing for sure.
Yeah, I think less.
And so I think that's great. It's like a great family game. And I think there's always room for those and room for more of those that are absolutely gorgeous on the table, but also aesthetically pleasing to play, and functionality is fun to play. Yeah. This is a functional game that is fun to play. Like you're saying, there's an experience that you're having moving physical pieces across the board. And I think that alone bumps this game up, like just straight up an 8. I think I would rate this game. I'm not going to go to a 9 because it's a great, I'm not going to do a dual rating here. I'm going to just give it an 8 because I think it's that good. I will play it anytime. I think it's fun. And I think a lot of people would enjoy it. So if you like really heavy strategy games, this isn't for you. But if you want something
that's, I don't know. I don't want to say that.
Let's be clear. If you only play
sure.
Ark Nova
level
game,
higher.
you don't play Redwood. But if you want something, it fits a niche. It fits this kind of like dexterity / light, fun nature game. I think that this is a great fit. I have a lot of those. Like I have a lot of them. this one's different. It's different. It's unique.
Yeah.
And that's the hardest thing in games right now is uniqueness and something that stands out. And this game didn't even come out this year, but we found it at Gen Con this year, and it came out in 2023. And it stood out. The box art stood out. The gameplay stood out. The way everything is presented stood out. And so that's really hard to do in today's gaming. There's just, it has to be above and beyond for it to truly stand out. I'm not sure how this game isn't standing out to a lot of people. I find it hard to believe, but it's not.
It's interesting looking online. It's a mixed bag.
Like maybe people went in with the wrong expectations on this game, but like, it's a great game. It has good decisions, fun decisions. You're moving some pieces around. It is not, I mean, this is like very light complexity though. Like it's light, but it's fun. And that's the hard thing. Like we play games to have fun. And so this definitely fits right into that. Again, it's not going to be super heavy. It's a light complexity, but again, fun. And the way it's on the board and on your table, it's going to look pretty. And it's going to be fun to play. So,
all right. Well, thank you all for listening. If you have feedback or want to give us your thoughts on the game, we would love to hear from you. Links to our socials are in the description. If you don't like socials, I get it. Check out our website at thegametablepodcast.com. Shoot us an email at thegametablepodcast@gmail.com or find us on BoardGameGeek. 5-star reviews, subscribing to your podcast player of choice, following us on socials, and joining the conversation on Discord. All of these heroic actions are immensely helpful in growing this podcast. Special thanks to Angie Santiago for our cover art, to Anna Snyder, who made the music, and to Alexi Shistolin for the How to Play background music. Join us next week as we head back over to the kids' table. In the meantime, may your dice rolls and your card draws be blessed, and your experiences at the table be ones to remember forever.
Adventures out there. Get some pretty photos and enjoy the ride.
Enjoy the Zen.